Well, if you're like me, today's world seems a little more bizarre every week. In a recent study, it was revealed that Americans refrain from watching the news no more than several times per month. Personally, I don't blame them. As an example, just a few years ago in 2018, a Zimbabwean pastor, along with his wife, were arrested for selling golden tickets to heaven. According to authorities, the pastor and his wife scammed people into buying $500 tickets that granted entrance into the gates of heaven, with, mind you, no judgment. The pastor even claimed that the tickets were made from the finest gold. Now let's go back thousands of years to a different time. Humankind once had safety, security, and had the presence of God walking among them in a beautiful garden. Humanity had been given one command, which was, "Thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." However, humanity did eat of this tree, and their eyes were opened. They became like God, knowing good and evil. There was also another tree in the garden called the tree of life. Humankind had not been commanded to eat from this tree. There were consequences of eating from the tree of knowledge. Then the Lord said, "See, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might reach out his hand and also take from the tree of life, eat and live forever." Humanity ate from the wrong tree, but we're never told that we couldn't eat from the tree of life. We ate from the tree that we were not to eat from. We could have lived forever in a beautiful garden with God. In John's gospel account, Jesus does not talk about trees and fruit. However, he does talk about bread in a similar and familiar way. He tells us that this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever." Jesus speaks of himself. He speaks of the benefits of believing and abiding in him, of consuming him, and making him a part of us. In turn, we become a part of him. In doing this, he identifies himself as the new creation, the new garden, the new tree, the new fruit. God's plan recorded in Genesis was that we would live forever with him. And Jesus, that plan continues, but now in a new garden. Today's reading is another passage from John's gospel account concerned with feeding the hungry. This concern about the theme of the bread from heaven is the central element from our faith that is quite evident as we follow our yearly lectionary. Certainly, I think there is a temptation to gloss over the outwardly similar readings about bread from heaven. When we think of the feeding of the 5,000, it has become one of the most familiar and spectacular miracles in which Jesus performed. Christ fed an enormously large crowd with a very small amount of food. It conveys something of the wonder that must have surrounded him. However, today's gospel is remarkable for a very different reason. This crowd has now been fed. These desperate and hungry people would have seen more food than they could have ever imagined. Remember, we are told that they ate all that they wanted, and yet there were 12 baskets left over. And so, one would think that it would have been reasonable for them to have returned to their homes, happy and content. However, for some reason, which we don't really understand, or are told, they are still there, waiting on Jesus to do something. Christ has satisfied their physical needs. They are not physically hungry anymore. They obviously still want or need something from him. They're clearly experiencing a hunger of a different kind. There are some in the crowd that do not experience this sort of hunger, as we are told. Some Jewish authorities start complaining about Jesus. Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I have come down from heaven? In their eyes, he's just an ordinary man. They can't understand why the crowd is still there. Perhaps the authorities are starting to realize that this sort of hunger is potentially much more dangerous for them. You may not realize this. There are many people in our society that simply can't understand why you and I are here today. From a physical or worldly perspective, it doesn't really make sense for us to come to this place week after week. It doesn't really make sense for us to sit for an hour on hardback pews. It doesn't really make sense for some because they believe that science has proven that most of the biblical creation accounts are not true. It doesn't make sense for some because they believe that modern medicine has solved most of the problems of humankind. It doesn't matter because many claim that prayer has now lost all of its meaning and purpose. It doesn't make sense for some to gather in a church building because they have more food than they could possibly eat and live quite comfortable lives. And yet, like that crowd, chose to remain after their physical needs had been met. We choose to come to this place week after week, expressing our dependence on a God that we can't see or even explain. We choose to come to this place week after week, expressing a hunger that goes far beyond our physical needs. C.S. Lewis wrote, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." This yearning or hunger for this other world is precisely what you and I express every time we gather in this place. We light our candles, we sing our beautiful hymns, not because we are trying to create heaven on earth. Rather, all these things help demonstrate our longing within us. No experience in this world can satisfy. I am certain this is why that crowd remained. Christ showed them that he was quite capable of looking after their physical needs. Then he begins speaking about a different sort of hunger. I have seen this sort of hunger written on the face of families sitting around a hospital bed, desperately hoping that death is not the end. I have seen this sort of hunger written on the faces of the lonely. I'm sorry that this pandemic has isolated from everyone they know and forgotten ones who wander the streets and cities after dark around the globe. I've seen this sort of hunger in churches as people gather around the altar week after week, as their backs are turned on the physical world and holding their hands out to receive the mysterious bread of life. The foretaste of another world. We live as a hungry people in a hungry world. When everyone is looking for something that will both sustain and nourish their life. The problem is not that we are hungry. The problem is with the kind of bread we eat. Think about the varieties of bread eaten in the world today. Before you think beyond the bread simply used to fill the stomach, think of this. Throughout the world, there's the bread of hostility, name-calling, anger, resentment, fear. The list goes on and on. We eat all kinds of bread, yet far too many people live hungry, empty, and searching. This speaks something about our appetites and the bread that we have eaten. I think it is a sure sign that the bread that we have eaten cannot give eternal life. It cannot give real life. It is only a perishable type of bread that only nourishes a perishable type of life. If you want to know the nutritional value of the bread, you have to look beyond the bread. Where did it come from? What are its ingredients? That is precisely what Jesus is teaching us today in our gospel reading. We learn that many people have shown up hungry. Just a day before, Jesus had fed 5,000 of them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. In this encounter, the people show up on the other side of the lake to meet with Jesus. Notice they did not give any thanks for God's generosity or even wonder who this rabbi was. They saw no sign in the feeding miracle. They either refused or were unable to see beyond the fish and the bread. They were only interested in their own appetites. We learn that Jesus knew this was the case as he spoke to them and said, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." The people wanted to feed themselves with bread, but Jesus wanted to fill them with God. He told them, "Do not work for the food that perishes." Jesus is the bread of life that does not perish. He is the bread that is broken and yet never divided. And he is the bread that is eaten and yet never exhausted. When we believe in him, eating, feeding, and taking him into our lives, we will live differently. We will see ourselves and one another as persons created in the image and likeness of God, rather than as obstacles or issues to be overcome. As we surrender to the mystery of Jesus, we are allowed to get glimpses of him, who he is, and only through attempting to know can we begin to know. Rather than a ticket made of gold, we are promised a magnificent heaven paved with streets of gold. And for that, our hearts yearn forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.